Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Welcome to part one of a two-part interview with Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet. Dr. Tuttle is a former Zen monk with a PhD in education from UC Berkeley. He has worked extensively in intuition development, spiritual healing, meditation, music, creativity, vegan living, and cultural evolution. Dr. Tuttle has been a vegan for 35 years. His book, a number one Amazon bestseller, The World Peace Diet, focuses on compassion, creativity, intuition, and the intersectionality of justice issues, animal liberation, environmental, health, spiritual, and peace issues. Dr. Tuttle and his spouse, Madeline, have been traveling all around the United States on their lecture tour in their solar-powered RV for the past 17 years. Dr. Tuttle is here in the studio, WCUW 91.3 FM, Worcester, Massachusetts, joining us for part one and next week part two of the Vegan Nation interview. And he'll also be here at the studio on August 11th to introduce the film Vegan Everyday Stories. He'll be performing a short piece on the piano in the front room, and then we'll be joined after the film with question and answer period, vegan refreshments, and the availability of Madeline and Will's artwork, writings, and music. The movie showing will be held here at 7 p.m. at WCUW 910 Main Street, Worcester, Massachusetts. It's a free event, open to the public, and there's free parking across the street. Welcome, Dr. Tuttle, and thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
I'm really thrilled that you're here in the WCUW studios in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Right. It's great being here. Madeline and I are on our 11-month Vegan for Life lecture tour, and we're getting toward the end of it now. We started last November, and we left Northern California. We've been giving lectures through California and then across through Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas, and Oklahoma, and Kansas, and Arkansas, and all through all those states, and then into Florida in the winter. We also had a chance to go to Dubai and to South Africa in January, and very interesting to see the vegan message spreading in these countries, and then also to Europe, to Ireland, England, and Holland. And then also we've been giving lectures in the states going up the East Coast, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, and so forth. And now we're here in Massachusetts, and we'll be heading back across through the northern states in the fall, giving lectures promoting compassion for animals and justice and sustainability and health.
Yes, and was it last year that you were in Australia and Taiwan and New Zealand?
Right. Yeah, we've been around the Pacific also to Korea, and we're heading back actually in November again to Taiwan and also to mainland China as well as Vietnam and Singapore. The vegan message is really a universal message, and we're finding that it's going everywhere, and the momentum is building. It's an ancient message, too.
Yes, and it's exciting that your book, The World Peace Diet, is now translated into 16 languages.
Right. Yeah, it is exciting. It's just coming out soon in Tamil, which is the language of southern India as well.
And there's so much to veganism, and yet there's the deeper connection, which is deep veganism, which I think you are the person who has brought this into light, into consciousness. So I'd really like to focus this interview on deep veganism.
Great. Yeah, deep veganism is a phrase I coined to try to help us understand that there's, in a sense, two levels to going vegan. One is the behavior, the first step, which is very important and wonderful, which is simply to try to bring our lives into alignment with our understanding that if I'm taking out my wallet and paying for someone to abuse animals and kill animals for food and for other products, that I'm causing a lot of unnecessary suffering to animals and also to wildlife, free-living animals, to ecosystems, to hungry people, and to slaughterhouse workers who have to do work that brings out the worst in them, and also to future generations. So this violence is devastating, really. So the surface level of veganism is important to change our behavior and move toward a plant-based way of living out of a sense of kindness and caring for others and really for ourselves as well. And then, however, I think we profit and are blessed by understanding that there's the second step that we can take that really we're called, I think, to take, which is the step to deep veganism, changing not just our behavior, but also the deeper attitudes that we have. Because being raised in a society where we're forced from the time we're little infants to abuse animals for food and, you know, to eat meat and dairy products and eggs and wear leather and so forth, we're just programmed, really. We're indoctrinated with this idea that animals don't matter. You know, the other animals are just here for us to use. It's a mindset of exploitation and oppression and domination and abuse of other beings. And so as vegans, we're called not only to change our behavior, but to also question the underlying values and attitudes that are embedded and that give rise to this behavior. And so that means to really question the underlying competitiveness, judgmentalness, being overly critical of others, and to cultivate what veganism actually is, which is loving kindness and respect for all animals, and remembering that human animals are also animals. And so to be loving and kind not only to cows, pigs, chickens, fishes, and turkeys, and try to really not harm them, but also to do the best we can not to harm our friends and family and colleagues, and to treat everybody with respect. And I think by embodying that, we're becoming a movement of deep veganism, which is a manifestation of ahimsa, or nonviolence, and loving kindness in our actions, in our words, and our behaviors, and that this will help our movement to really grow in a benevolent and positive and powerful way to transform our society.
Dr. Tuttle, I would like to talk about the five factors of deep veganism, one being the taboo to talk about it, the domination of the feminine, the metaphysics of food, the boomerang effect, and how veganism is just the first step in personal and cultural transformation. So let's start with the taboo. We might as well just talk about it right away.
Right, yes. So that's one of the most important things to understand, I think, about our society, and that is that since animal agriculture is the core organizing principle of our society, that our culture is actually organized at its center around owning animals as property for food. This is the largest activity we're engaged in, and it's the defining activity that we're engaged in. However, we're not taught that. Most people, if you ask them, do we live in a herding culture, would say, no, we live in a technological industrial culture. We don't live in a herding culture. That's some kind of old-fashioned culture where people stand around with sheep and goats. No, we don't do that. Well, we do. We live in a herding culture that's organized at its core around owning animals as property. It's now industrialized. It's now sort of out of sight for the most part, and the animals are confined in stinking sheds by the thousands or tens of thousands, but we're still eating them. So this idea that we live in a herding culture is blocked. It's something we don't want to think about, because our natural intelligence and sensitivity and kindness and caring and respect for other life is brought into question. We have cognitive dissonance. We have affective dissonance. We don't want to think about the fact that when we're eating animal foods, we're directly instigating vicious abuse and mutilation and killing of animals who are suffering and are terrified. We would try to stop that if we ever saw it, someone doing that publicly on the street. We would never, ever, ever support it. So this is the great irony. This is why it's a taboo.
This is Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, joining us here in the studio at WCUW 91.3 FM. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow, and we're continuing our conversation with Dr. Tuttle.
There are quite a few studies that are done that survey people, and survey people, say, in the United States, and ask people, so do you agree that anyone who willfully commits violence against animals should be held accountable for that? And routinely, 98% to 99% of people say yes, anyone who does that should be held accountable. And yet 98% to 99% of people are willfully doing that. If I take out my wallet and pay for hamburgers or cheese or eggs or ice cream or hot dogs or bacon, I'm in effect willfully committing violence against animals. It's completely unnecessary. There are millions of people who are thriving on a plant-based diet. No one needs to eat animal foods to be healthy. So this is why it's a taboo. It's something we don't feel good about. So we try to just do everything we can to avoid thinking about this. Not only do the general public want us to avoid thinking about this, but also the industries and the governmental agencies are also similarly motivated that people don't talk about what we're talking about here. Just profits require that people falsely believe that animal agriculture does not cause any suffering to animals. Large corporate interests and financial interests have effectively taken control in many ways of our government as well. And so educational programs, advertising, corporate profits, banking profits, all these are tied intimately. The whole way we do development of less industrialized nations is based on trying to get them to eat more animal foods, which causes more profits for the pharmaceutical and medical industry, for the war industries, because animal agriculture leads to food shortages, which lead to conflict. And so all of these large industries, which are really in many ways devastating, the energy, petroleum industries, they all require us to not be aware of the impact of animal agriculture. So it's a taboo in the media. It isn't addressed. And in our conversations, it's not addressed because most of us are participating in contributing to violence against animals, and we would rather not be reminded of that fact. So I think it's really wonderful when we can talk about this, we can break the taboo, we can raise awareness, we can open our hearts, we can open our minds, we can bring light into our society, we can lay the foundation of a more evolved and more conscious society where we don't have these kinds of taboos. Like in dysfunctional families, if, for example, the father is an alcoholic, the one thing that no one talks about is the fact that the father's an alcoholic. The whole family is in chaos because of this fact, but nobody talks about it. You know, it's the same thing with animal agriculture. Just like it's a taboo to talk about the elephant in the living room, in dysfunctional families, when we have a dysfunctional society that's killing, we're just in the United States alone, we're killing 75 million animals every day for food, and we don't talk about that. What that does to animals, what that does to us, what that does to ecosystems, it's a taboo. It's a similar thing. We just are uncomfortable with it, and so it's awkward, and so we try to solve our problems while neglecting the driving force responsible for those problems. So I'm so grateful, Marlene, that we're having a chance to share these ideas here on WCUW, here in Worcester.
Thank you, Will. Thank you very much. I'm glad it's shifting because I am aware of teachers who have been fired for bringing up veganism within the classroom in elementary schools, and other teachers who've been reprimanded for bringing up veganism in ethics classes in animal science and holistic health curricula.
Right.
Yeah, we need to be talking about it.
Exactly.
And so that leads me into the next factor of deep veganism, bringing into human awareness the domination of the feminine in animal agriculture.
Right. I think that's part of the taboo, too. But the basic idea is that really twofold. Number one, if we just look at the actual practice of animal agriculture, on the surface level, it's true that what it is essentially is human beings dominating animals. But if we look a little more carefully, what we see is that more accurately, it is men dominating female animals. That's how it has actually played out and been practiced for the last 10,000 years since the beginnings of animal agriculture in what is today Iraq in the eastern Mediterranean region, when people first started owning wild sheep and then wild goats and then a couple thousand years later, wild cows, and then eventually pigs and chickens and other animals. It's basically always been, as far as a practical matter, it's been men confining animals, impregnating the female animals against their will, developing a science that has as its roots men dominating female animals in a scientific way, in the sense that they methodically attempted to learn how to cultivate animals as if they're just objects to be used, and to manipulate them so that their babies would have more flesh and give more milk and have more fur, because this was profitable. And so we have this whole way of looking at females not as the bearers of sacred life and to be respected and honored for this beautiful, mysterious, powerful act of bringing forth new life, but no, just as objects to be used for profit, to be abused, to be dominated and exploited. So this view of female animals as mere breeders, to be dominated and exploited, it gradually, obviously, moved over to the way men began to see women. And by the time the historic period emerged 3,000 years ago, it's very plain and obvious. When we read the Epic of Gilgamesh, the Iliad, the Odyssey, the ancient Old Testament writings, we can see very clearly at that point, men are buying and selling women like chattel property. They're impregnating them, they're owning them for profit, for their own sexual pleasure. The rising of a patriarchal society based on war and slavery and the domination of women and the role model of boys to become a hard, tough, disconnected male is all rooted in animal agriculture. If we want to eat meat and dairy products, then that's what's going to happen. We're going to have a society that is founded at its core on domination and oppression and violence and war with a wealthy elite that has the capital, in a sense. Capita is the ancient Latin word that means head, as in head of sheep and goats. And so this is what we see in our society today.
This is Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. Dr. Tuttle and his spouse, Madeline, are on their Vegan for Life international tour, and he's currently in Massachusetts on the tour and joining us here in the WCUW studios, Worcester, Massachusetts. After the break, we'll be back with Dr. Tuttle giving us more details about deep veganism.
Hi, this is Judy Middleton from Western Australia. This is WCUW, Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts.
This is your very own Dr. G behind the microphone here at WCUW.org, streaming out across those interwebs and live 91.3 FM, community radio serving Worcester and beyond. I'll be bringing you yet another patent-pending sonic thrill ride designed to have you prancing around your yurt while consuming your finest non-GMO and heirloom granola every Thursday morning from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Much love, and I'll see you soon out there in the ethers.
Tune in to Vegan Nation every Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. for music, news, and events about the vegan lifestyle right here on WCUW 91.3 FM and around the world at WCUW.org. Welcome back from the break. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Miley Narrow. We are joined in the studios here at WCUW, Worcester, Massachusetts, with Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet. Dr. Tuttle and his wife, Madeline, are on their Vegan for Life international tour, and he's currently in Massachusetts, and he's here to help us understand the principles of deep veganism. And we'll be hearing more details about the metaphysics of food, the boomerang effect, and veganism as the first step in personal and cultural transformation. Thank you again, Dr. Tuttle, for joining us here in the studios.
Thank you, Marlene, and thank you, everyone, for listening in. And I'm delighted to be able to be here in the studio here in Worcester.
Let's continue with deep veganism.
And the other thing is that as little children growing up in this society, being forced to eat the flesh and secretions of abused animals, we are similarly abused, and our natural feelings of kindness and compassion and respect for life are suppressed, and that is essentially the domination and repression of the sacred feminine within us as children. And the sacred feminine is that capacity that we all have to love and respect and to nurture life, to protect children, to protect the vulnerable. But forcing us as little kids to eat meat and dairy products and eggs suppresses what I refer to in the World Peace Diet as Sophia, the sacred feminine, and thus we create a society where we can target children as corporations to sell them products that are toxic and abusive and using violence and pornography in order to do that, where we can destroy ecosystems, where we can basically steal food from poor people and let them starve while we feed our animals. You know, all these things our sacred feminine wisdom would rebel against. And so I think it's wonderful that we're able to talk about these ideas and understand that what veganism is essentially is this resurrection of respect for the sacred feminine consciousness and caring for mothers, all mothers, human mothers, cow mothers, pig mothers, and chicken mothers and fish mothers, all of whom are impregnated against their will and have their babies stolen, suffer enormously psychologically, And I've heard it myself, you know, camping in our RV near dairy operations. I hear sometimes all night mothers wailing and bellowing for their calves that have been stolen, and their milk is stolen, their babies are stolen. This kind of sexual violence and sexual abuse that takes place on a massive scale, again, is another reason why it's a taboo, really, to talk about this. We feel so ashamed of ourselves as human beings, and rightly so. We have to remember that we're born into a society that has forced us to participate in these behaviors. It's not our free choice. And to question these behaviors is really, I think, the most healthy thing any human being can do in our society today.
Can you please help us to understand the metaphysics of food?
The thing to understand, I think, with food in our society is that we're raised in a society where we're forced from the time we're little kids, compelled really by our food rituals in our society of eating animal-based foods, to see animals not as beings, but as objects, as commodities that are just things to be used. And so our whole society tends to reduce life to matter, to just being simply chemical, electrical, genetic machines that are sort of operating according to some scientific principles that we're trying to figure out. And I think it's important to understand that there are, besides physical toxins which concentrate in animal-based foods, there are also metaphysical toxins to look beyond just the surface level. So what I mean by this is that it's well understood that the flesh of animals, cows and pigs, and especially of fishes, as well as dairy products and eggs, concentrate many different types of toxins, because toxins that are in the environment move up the food chain. So if we're eating higher on the food chain, we're taking in a lot more toxins, environmental toxins such as heavy metals, PCBs, dioxin, the residues from pesticides, herbicides, and fungicides, and chemical fertilizers, as well as nuclear radiation, and also pharmaceutical residues that are now permeating the water. And so all of these, as well as there's over 10,000 different drugs and hormones and chemicals that have been approved to be injected directly into animals and used in their, mixed into their feed. So when we're eating animal-based foods, we're getting a huge dose of carcinogenic chemicals that are devastating to our physical health, causing cancer and nervous diseases of various kinds. And this is well understood, and no one argues this. So that's one of the reasons we have organic and so forth. But it's important to understand that animal foods not only concentrate these physical toxins, which are harmful to our health, but when we really think about it, we're also eating metaphysical toxins. And if I'm eating the flesh of an animal who was horribly abused her entire life, who was hyper-confined, who was driven into insanity by being unable to move, just banging her head against the bars of the cage, being afraid to have her eyes pecked out by her cage mates, and being routinely mutilated in a variety of ways, and stressed, and in terror when she's killed, I'm actually eating misery, I'm eating terror, I'm eating fear, I'm eating despair, I'm eating anxiety, I'm eating stress, I'm eating the exact opposite of the kinds of emotional states that I would like to be experiencing. Why do we feed these kind of foods to our children? And why do we feed them to ourselves and to our loved ones? We yearn, I think, and rightly so, to build our body, which is our vehicle for expressing ourselves in the world, with healthy foods, with foods that reflect joy and abundance and sustainability and harmony. And plant-based foods can certainly do this. Anyone who has a garden knows that we can be in the garden, we can be growing vegetables and trees, fruits, and so forth, with a sense of kindness and love and joy, and these foods are freely given by the earth. And we plant one seed for one apple tree, and pretty soon we're getting thousands and thousands and thousands of apples. It's this miraculous abundance and beauty and joy of life feeding life. But with animal agriculture, it's exactly the opposite. The animals are trying to escape. They're terrified. They don't want to have their babies stolen, their milk stolen, their lives stolen, their time stolen, their happiness stolen. But we steal all of those things. We abuse them. We devastate their happiness. And then we eat it. We actually eat that stuff. And we wonder why the pharmaceutical industry is making huge profits. The biggest profits for pharmaceutical industries come from drugs for exactly what we're inflicting on animals, for chronic pain, for despair, for stress, for anxiety, for insomnia. This is what we force millions of animals into every day, and then we eat that, and we get the same thing ourselves and our children. So the whole idea, really, with deep veganism is to understand that our actions matter, that there are consequences to our behavior, and that animals like us have interests, and that their interests are to them as important to them as my interests are to me, and to respect those interests. And this is our natural wisdom that has been repressed by our society, and because of that, we find ourselves engaged in war and violence, not only against animals, but with each other and with the earth. And it's utterly unnecessary. All of us can awaken out of the hypnotic trance of eating animal foods, of realizing there's only one reason that anyone eats animal foods, and that's because we're following orders. We're just doing what we've been told to do. So to question those orders, to question the official stories in our society, and to stop looking at a shallow level and realize that there's a deeper level to life, that all beings are beings. We're not things. We're not objects. We are manifestations of a much larger life, and to love and respect that life.
Thank you, Dr. Tuttle. This concludes part one of the two-part interview with Dr. Will Tuttle, author of The World Peace Diet, Eating for Spiritual Health and Social Harmony. Dr. Tuttle is a pianist and composer and a worldwide lecturer. Join us again next week for part two of the interview with Dr. Will Tuttle. You can find Dr. Tuttle's work on his website, willtuttle.com, that's willtuttle.com, as well as worldpeacediet.com, worldpeacediet.com, for his music and the artwork by his spouse, Madeline Tuttle, a visionary artist from Switzerland, and information on his book, The World Peace Diet, and also the book that he edited that was released in January 2015 called Circles of Compassion, that is published here in Massachusetts by Vegan Publishers, which is owned by Dr. Casey Taft, a psychologist and researcher at the Boston University School of Medicine. And he founded Vegan Publishers 2 years ago with his wife, Kristen Naylor. I'd like to invite everyone to come to the movie showing of Vegan Everyday Stories featuring Will Tuttle, and he'll be here in the studio introducing the movie, available for question and answer period afterwards, along with vegan refreshments and the availability of his music, books, and Madeline's artwork. Dr. Tuttle also has a training program for those interested in furthering their study of the World Peace Diet and spreading the benevolent message of veganism, and that's World Peace Diet Facilitator Training. And before we close for today, I'd like to give a reminder that this weekend is the World Vegan Summit Conference and Expo happening in Berkeley, California at UC Berkeley, July 29th to the 31st. I'd also like to give a shout out to all the vegan activists who have sponsored Will Tuttle throughout all the states in the United States, and also for the vegan activists in Switzerland, Italy, Austria, Germany, Greece, Croatia, and Vancouver, British Columbia, and all the other countries were mentioned at the beginning of today's program. So a big shout out to all of you. Thank you. And I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. Please join us again next week for part two of the interview with Dr. Will Tuttle, originally from Concord, Massachusetts, and now resides in Northern California with his spouse, Madeline, living on a half an acre of land filled with a food forest of all different types of vegetables and fruit trees. Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow wishing you a good day.